You're with SBS Radio. Find more great stories in your language at sbs.com.au.
Congratulations, first of all, for being selected. Last year, we had a yarn with you when you were selected for the most prestigious Indigenous Art Awards. And this year, once again, you're one of only two Victorians. Congratulations for this extraordinary feat.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, it's, again, an absolute honour for me to be presenting my work in this prestigious Art Awards and alongside with a lot of other talented Aboriginal artists across Australia. So I'm very, very thrilled. I'm very honoured and I'm very privileged to be alongside all those other artists this year.
This year, what item are you putting in for the award? Have you entered for the award?
Just because I'm so into the sustainability and using natural products and mediums, I actually went kayaking down the river again and collected some pipe clay, which I used last year for my entry. And I collected some pipe clay, and unfortunately I did come across a deceased emu on the roads when I was cruising around up the bush, foraging some native materials. So I removed its fat glands, and I processed the fat and mixed it with different colours, ochres of country. I mixed a bit of earth and stringy bark as well. And I made this really delightful little pot, and I was walking around up on country and seen two massive big adult wedge-tailed eagles, which is, we call them Bunjil. So they're our ancestor creator. And when I looked up in the trees, I saw a massive nest with a juvenile wedge-tailed eagle inside it. And as I walked underneath to photography, like to do a bit of photography, I actually saw a feather that just slowly fell down from that nest and landed right in front of me and implanted into the ground. So I took that, and then I realised what I was meant to do and what I was meant to create with the pot. So I came home and I mixed up some more clay and some emu fat and wattle sap and ochres and marg and stringy bark, and I placed those feathers into the pot and created my ancestors' creation story. Because many years ago, before time, Bunjil came down as a meteorite and hit the earth, and he came out, and just like the rainbow serpent, but for us it's a different story. It was Bunjil, the wedge-tailed eagle, that created our valleys, our mountains, our plains, our animals, and people, our ancestors. So he actually made our men out of stringy bark and the women out of the earth, the clay, the mud. So it does. It's a really powerful piece this year. Last year was more about the coastal middens and family and telling stories and you know, looking after country there. But this year it's more so on you know, the ancestors that guide me every day on my journey. Without them, you know, I wouldn't have this journey that I'm on at the moment. So it's got a really powerful message, but it's for the Kulin Nation, you know, our ancestors. You know, that story is a part of our nation, and you know, carrying that forward into my art and using natural mediums again shows you know, that you don't have to go to shops to purchase, you know, your products. You can actually go out and collect from Mother Earth.
Yeah, and make very beautiful products. And you also, I saw photos that were entered as officially for the awards, and you're wearing a beautiful, is it a possum fur you're wearing there?
Yes, I've got some beautiful possum skin cloak that I make. So I'm an artifact maker as well. So I love doing traditional, you know, using traditional methods and techniques like my ancestors. So, yeah, I've got possum skin cloaks that I wrap around me when I do my work. I normally sit outside in my yilum yadabik. It's a beautiful bark hut. So yilum in Tungalong language means home, means camp, means, you know, shelter. So, and biki's country. So, when I sit outside, I like to create in my yilum. And, yeah, I'm on my country. So I'm on my bik. And I have my walat walat. So that means my possum skins around me. So possum means in Tungalong language is walat. So,
and coming back to Bunjil, you say Bunjil?
Yeah, Bunjil.
Yep, the eagle. Because we all know the rainbow serpent. It's represented in many, many artifacts and cultural sites and all that. But Bunjil sounds very powerful, and yet we don't know much about Bunjil.
Yeah, so Bunjil and Wa, we've got Wa. So we've got people of the Kulin Nation have many family totems. Like I've got Balyam the Bat. He's my family totem. I've also got a couple of other spirit animals that I see all the time, so they're connected to me and my family as well. But Bunjil the Wedge-Tailed Eagle, he's the Kulin Nation, and it does carry like out to in New South Wales. I think Wiradjuri as well have Bunjil as their ancestor creator too. So, you know, he does get around. He's, you know, spread out there a little bit with other language groups. And, so that's our ancestor creator, Bunjil. So whenever we see a wedge-tailed eagle, we pay respects and we know that he's out there protecting and watching over us. And the day that I collected those feathers, which I've actually got quite a few now, because I keep going up to that spot, and just underneath the tree there, there's, yeah, beautiful, big, you know, there's, I've actually got a feather there that's probably, 60 centimetres. So in length, and it's just magnificent to see that, you know, they're still flying around, and because many months ago there was a lot of culling happening up here, which is just disgusting. But there was a lot of culling from around Gippsland area up there. So, it wasn't very good. There was over 100 wedge-tailed eagles being poisoned. So,
oh, that's a horrible thing.
Yeah, and they're all protective species, so it's really, really shocking.
Why would someone do that?
I've got no idea. There probably is a few, you know, ideas out there, like, you know, because wedge-tailed eagles do take young lambs, and, you know, because they're very powerful, and, you know, they pick up rabbits, they pick up young lambs, like, they're massive creatures. So I think farmers out there get threatened by them. So, you know, poisoning them or shooting them is one way of getting rid of the threat of losing their stock, which is not, you know, I mean, yeah, it's not the right way to go about things, I don't think.
Yeah, none of that should be condemned, because you just don't go about killing wildlife like that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, and then we've got Wa the Crow. So Wa, is our family totem as well. So Wa is the trickster of the totems and very knowledgeable and keeps his eye on things too, and a protector of the water. So
when I said we don't know much about Bunjil, I must admit it's through my own personal ignorance. It's not that. But it's always good to learn from a first-hand, knowledgeable person, a storyteller extraordinaire. Also, you tell it with such passion that... How long did it take you to actually produce this masterpiece? Well, did you do it during this COVID period, or...?
It was kind of like mid last year. I started collecting materials, and not sure really what I was going to produce, you know, because I didn't have too long, like, you know, that the time really, really skips by. And I was actually working on my NGV jewelry collection at the time, and I'm kind of juggling a few other things and traveling with work, and so I collected some materials. And then, as I said, as soon as I went up there, up to Valencia Creek, up just up the road from where I live, and I found the nest, and as soon as that feather hit the ground, I knew straight away that I had to go home and create this unique story in a pot. So I got home, and I started working on the materials and blending, because it does take quite some time to... because it's air dry clay, so it's but it can be very fragile if you don't seal it really well. So I had to boil up the saps and the emu fat and the clays and the muds and mix it all together. So that in itself takes about a month, because I turn the clays around and then I boil up more, you know, emu oil and wattle sap. So it really does take, you know, a long time to process, but. And not many people know the process either. And then I haven't heard of them.
First, you've got to get the emu fat. This is animal. It won't give you its fat just like that. You've got to catch one. And
exactly, yeah. Well, yeah. See, this, unfortunately for me, you know, I don't want to kill or hunt or, you know, hurt any animals in the process. But I was actually just cycling up the road where I go. It's kind of like a really hilly part of country, and unfortunately I found a smaller emu chick that actually got hit by a log truck. I suspect it was a log truck.
Yeah,
so and I kind of like didn't want to, you know, yeah, it was quite severely, you know, distraught, you know, hit. And I didn't really know what to do with it at the time, but I pulled it aside and I buried it, and I left it for a day or two, and I was thinking, you know, I'm gonna utilize what I can out of this poor deceased animal, but in a respectful way, but also, you know, then do a nice little ceremony to make sure its spirit, you know, goes off into its dreaming as well. So I went back a couple of days later, and I had a couple of syringes and everything, and I took the fat out of the emu, so it's kind of like its bottom area where the glands are, where the pure oil is, and the ligaments and things I took as well, and the feathers and some skin, and I buried the emu and done a nice little smoking ceremony for that. And then I came back, and then I, you know, had to boil up and process all the oils, and then with the stringy bark I got from the trees that had fallen down in the winds and the clays. And I was on Tungurung country at the time at Marysville, and I collected all the beautiful earth coloured ochres and everything from my traditional country of Tungurung, and came back home, and then I started processing and building the pot up slowly. And then in my little earth oven, you know, I have like hot coals and everything, so I was kind of like drying out the pot as I was processing it to make sure it was working okay, and it wasn't going to fall apart. It was strong, and I sealed it really well, so it was wonderful.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.